It's 6 minutes past 11 and a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's been a great first hour. I can't believe how quick again that's gone. Great songs, great people, great stories to tell. And we're just so delighted you can spare some time and listen to Darren and myself on Spotlight on 90.5.
And would you like to introduce our next guest on the phone?
I do. I thought this would be an interesting topic for us to have a look at, and we're really delighted to have this morning on the line Carolyn Bowler, the CEO of BTC Markets. And I really wanted to have a look at the whole area of blockchain, cryptocurrency, and just get a general understanding, because it's been a lot of attention paid to it in financial markets and a whole range of different areas. And I just think it'd be really good to get a better understanding of it. On behalf of Spotlight, Carolyn, good morning.
Good morning, and hello from a more overcast Melbourne. I think you've got the good weather in Sydney today.
We do. We hope the rain doesn't rain you out much. We had a lot of rain up here. And Jim, leading into your questions, what do you really want to know about cryptocurrency?
Well, first and foremost, what is it? When we talk about cryptocurrency, what is it actually, and how did it come about?
Okay, how about we take it back a step? It starts off with the idea of a blockchain. And the concept in the name is a bit off-putting. So instead, it might be easier to kind of think of it as like a daisy chain. And at the head of it, because we all remember doing daisy chains when we were kids, and at the head of the daisy chain, that's where we keep all of the information. So the blocks refer to blocks of data, which is information, and it could be about absolutely anything, but probably the best known cases are to do with financial data and financial transactions. So all of that information is stored into a block or the head of the daisy. And then where it becomes crypto, and where it becomes cryptographic, which is the type of security that's used, is when you're trying to do that link between one daisy onto the next one to create that daisy chain. And what we use is really hardcore computer technology that runs cryptography to make the information super, super secure between one block to the next one, or from one daisy to the next daisy chain. And so by linking all of those daisies together, we get the daisy chain, we get the blockchain, which is just a link of information that flows from one to the other to the other. And what's important to know is that once that information is stored within that block of data, it can never be changed. It is immutable, can never be changed. But it can also be seen by everybody who is a member of that blockchain. So it's publicly viewable, completely transparent. So anyone who wants to take a peek can do so. So what that means as well is that because the fact it's all in a chain, it can't be changed at any point in time, you can see a really accurate historical record that's transparent to everybody and just captures all that information in a way that is readable and storable and transparent for all to see. Now, the cryptography, by its very power, because it needs so much computing power in order to do their magical cryptography and make all the things secure, the way that those computers are rewarded, or the way that what's called miners are rewarded with Bitcoin, is by paying them in Bitcoin. And so they generate Bitcoin every time their computers successfully run and create that cryptography, that secure link between each of the daisy chains. I know that sounds a bit kind of still a bit pie in the sky, but that's a place to start. So it's all, you know, it's all about securing information, and the cryptography generates a cryptocurrency, which is Bitcoin as we know it today. Does that help?
It does. And I want to go back to it, Caroline, because that's very sophisticated and technical information. And we're going to break that down a little bit. But I want our listeners to understand that what you're talking about is a really big market in Australia. I think over $14 billion since 2013 has gone into just cryptocurrency.
Oh, that's just gone into our exchange of cryptocurrency.
Sorry, into yours.
Yeah, so can you imagine what's going into, and we're not the only ones. At one point in time, according to AltTrack, there's now over 400 crypto exchanges and brokers here in Australia. So you can imagine that this is a growing market by some stretch. We've been around since 2013, so we've got a pretty good overview of what's happening here locally. Obviously, we're connected in overseas. This isn't, I mean, I know Bitcoin and crypto has been perhaps disparaged in the past, or people thought, oh, it's a scam, or it's not going to be around for very long. But it's now well over a decade and has shown no sign of abating whatsoever. But what's important for people to understand is that is that at the very root of it is this blockchain technology. And this doesn't have to just be used for cryptocurrency. It can be used in so many different business sectors. And one project that I find really exciting is a crowd called Beef Ledger that runs out of Queensland. I think it was a project that started in conjunction with QUT up there. And they instead help Aussie farmers and the whole production line in cattle, in beef export to China, to verify that their beef, where it's come from, you know, what feed it's been fed, how it's been reared here in Australia, and then every step along the way as it reaches the end consumer in China, so that that end consumer has the surety to know that absolutely what's on their plate is Australian beef. And that they do that using the blockchain and using that cryptographic security. So super, super exciting, but really relevant across more than just cryptocurrencies.
Indeed, and I do understand the young listeners we have will be happy that their ATAR is actually protected by cryptography, blockchain as well. And so, they're happy there as well. A question for myself, Staron here. With the value of Bitcoin, say, and we're going a bit forward to Bitcoin based on the cryptography and the like, mm-hmm. What generates that value and what makes that value kind of go up? And we've seen a very big spike at the moment, and people on social media will go, oh, Bitcoin's whatever, and so-and-so is making a fortune, but I never got into it, and those sorts of things. So two questions, really. What gives the value to Bitcoin when it's mined, if that's the correct terminology, and how has that value changed over the last 10 years that even, say, you and your exchange has been involved?
So fundamentally, the value comes from markets, the normal mechanics of a market where supply meets demand and a decrease in supply means matches an increase in demand and the price goes up accordingly. Because here's the thing that's interesting as well about Bitcoin in particular. Hard-coded into it is that there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. So there will never, if known as a deflationary asset for it, there is a limit to how many of them are going to be created. And we're reaching the kind of last limit of that. I think 18 million of the 21 have been mined so far, though it can be corrected on that number. So we're meeting that threshold as a massive increase in demand comes into the market. And so those two, you know, straightforward market forces are interacting and pushing that price up. And that demand is coming not just from, you know, what we call the retail, which is like the everyday person on the street buying it. What we've seen has been in the last year, 18 months, an influx of institutions coming in, big investment banks, well-known investment funds, and some large corporates have also said, OK, we're interested in Bitcoin and we're now buying in Bitcoin or investing Bitcoin. And so all of that kind of pushes that price up further and further and further. And we've certainly seen that happen here on BTC markets over the last 12 months or so.
We're going to go to a little break. Caroline, fantastic the way you've expressed really complex things. We're going to find out a little bit more about cryptocurrency and blockchain. You're on 90.5 on Spotlight with Darren and Jim.
Live 90.5. Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial, and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety, and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
Caroline, I had a question to just following on from the idea that Bitcoin is limited to that 21 million. What that actually means for Bitcoin and where it's going to go. Is it a good time to buy in and all those sorts of things? And then second question to that is, will there be other coins coming out as well?
So for the Bitcoin, so there'll only be 21 million mined. But the market itself won't close out at the 21 million. Instead, it's the kind of thesis behind that limitation is that it will act as a deflationary asset. That means it will act as a store of value, which is why a lot of people kind of have traditionally compared it to gold, because gold has kind of played that similar that similar role throughout history. And Bitcoin, I suppose, is that digital gold just kind of that everyone refers to, in that it's going to just hold its value, or that's the anticipation with that limited number of Bitcoin being mined. In terms of if there are other coins, there are as many coins as there are blockchains at this stage, in that each of the different projects, by the very nature of using a blockchain technology, will have some kind of token or coin attached to it. However, there are, you know, perhaps the top 100 that you could look at, or even, to be fair, a top 10 or a top 5 different projects, and each of them are different. So while Bitcoin is known as that store of value, the next biggest one is Ethereum, and that's known instead as a utility token, which doesn't sound very glamorous, but what you use Ethereum for is a kind of as a basic starting building block for the blockchain economy, for the digital economy. So utility sounds, as I say, a bit kind of unappealing, but the point of it is that it is a basis, it is a starting point upon which other businesses can then use that technology to create and build their own ideas, which is in itself really exciting. And Ethereum has been going on a bit of a market pump as well itself, as more and more projects are starting to use its platform to build out their own digital solutions for blockchain. So that's another interesting one. And then you've also got a project run by a company called Ripple, or XRP, that's kind of been a bit of a splash and bother with the SEC in the US at the moment. But the point of its technology is around payments, and is around really quick, fast, secure, efficient transfer of money, either between one person to another, or even more exciting, from one country to another. So we work with Ripple here at BCC Markets with the transfer of Aussie dollar into the Filipino peso. So where you may walk into a shop or a provider here and say, okay, I want to transfer 50 Aussie dollar over to the Philippines to my cousin over in the Philippines. And you then hand over, you get all the rates and all the details agreed here locally. And on the other side, the Filipino partner knows what to expect that's coming in. But the transaction using blockchain technology happens in microseconds. It's an incredibly quick transfer of funds. So where now with traditional banking, we expect those cross-border payments to take days and be quite expensive, that's no longer going to be the case with blockchain technology and using these different payment platforms. So there's loads of different types of blockchains solving lots and lots of different types of problems. And it's a really fascinating subject, a huge amount of expansion happening in this field, which is why I get so excited talking about it, because every day is something new. But for people who are just coming in and having a look around at the sector, those are probably three areas that you could start sniffing around in once you've kind of got your head around what a blockchain is and what the whole concept is behind why there are these tokens and why there are these coins.
It sounds absolutely fantastic, and this is of a general nature and there's no advice. We're just trying to get our listeners to understand that the whole concepts of blockchain and cryptocurrencies and so on. Let's look over the valley. In 5 and 10 years' time, what can you see being used by blockchain? Where will you see? Will you see blockchain in medicine, technology?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The question you've asked, to my mind, would be like the question they asked in the late 90s. What will we use the internet for? What purpose will that serve? And that's what we're at now, that pivotal discussions and thinking that are going into the use cases of blockchain. And it's been used across so many different sectors. So fashion, for provenance, for proof, as I say, like with beef, with wine. And financial services are probably the biggest case. Here, I know that there's a project that MasterCard are working on. I think it's to do with the tracking of avocados. Like, it's just, you know, fascinating what's to come. They're even looking into areas around decentralizing banking, and that sounds again quite highfalutin in its ideas, but it's basically so that rather than having to always go to a bank to access financial services, you can interact through the blockchain and get very quick, very easy access to different financial products. A huge area worth exploring. Again, not financial advice, but areas that are really worth exploring. And in 5 to 10 years, this will absolutely be mainstream. In 5 years, no question in my mind, it absolutely will be mainstream. I think we'll start to see it becoming more and more mainstream even in the next 3 years. I wouldn't even say we'd have to wait for five. So it's really an exciting area. And what's really good too is that Australia is leading a number of these projects worldwide. And there is an awful lot here in the, to be proud of here in kind of with the community and what it's built. And we have our National Blockchain Week coming up in Australia in April. So there'll be a lot more of these projects and things being showcased at a national level.
Carolyn Bowler, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and knowledge with regards to blockchain and cryptocurrency. It's been fascinating. We'd love to have you back later in the year, just so that our listeners become better informed and educated about things that continue to affect their lives. Have a great day, and thanks for joining us on Spotlight on 90.5 FM.
Thank you very much.
Alive 90.5.